Among the many things we do, we try to bless folks in practical ways. And one of those opportunities is coming up. And I thought it might be appropriate for Tim to kind of underscore the significance of the annual clothing exchange that we host on our site, the community. Tim?
We've been doing this clothing exchange for years, decades even. And last year, for whatever the reason, very little clothing was brought to the church right before the event, so we postponed it to September. And I had numerous people from the community come up and say, "Where's the clothing exchange? I need it. I was looking forward to it to be able to clothe my children for back to school." You know, they are needy people in our community that have come to depend upon us. And when we canceled it, it was hard on them. And so I want to encourage you, please, to participate in this clothing exchange. There's a green insert in your bulletin with all the details. It's coming up in 2 weeks on the Thursday night. We collate all the clothes.
Does it? Okay. It was wonderful to come again and visit you again. And I met several people whom I remember. And it was good to see the familiar faces and also some new faces. Fred? Yeah, I remember a lot of faces, and I arrived home, actually, and it is good to know that the body of Christ is one everywhere. And it's a total exceptional group of people, you know, the body of Christ, because we love each other, and it is the best sign for the world, you know, that we love each other. It doesn't matter what kind of color, skin color we have, or what type of culture we came from. We are the same in Christ, and we love each other. So that's why Jesus prayed that we have to be love each other. We have to love each other, and that's how the whole world will recognize that the Father sent me. And so it's a great privilege to be a Christian. I was 21 years old when I was saved, and I was in deep depression, tried to find the goal of my life, but I didn't. And finally, I ended to the thought that if there is a God, maybe he exists, maybe not, I don't know, but if there is, he has to be the solution, because otherwise there is no hope. So I was 21 years old, but without absolutely hope. And so one evening I just met Jesus personally, and my life changed radically. Actually, my parents were at the point to kick me out from the family because I was so wild. And they were just shocked that I changed. Actually, I was shocked how I changed. I had to pinch myself, because I thought before that the Christianity is keeping a lot of rules, which I hated, you know, basically all the rules. I hated all the rules, you know, rebellion, thinking that you know everything the most in the whole world. So, but I realized that being a Christian, it is a heart issue. So, and God changed my heart, and I had to realize the change, what he did in my life. So I just had to discover what God already made in my life. Actually, some days later, some of my friends in the dormitory told me that, "What happened to you? I did not hear to curse," because unfortunately I was cursing a lot. Because, you know, if someone doesn't have any, goals in the life, everything, just, I don't care. No one can tell me what to do. No one has the right to tell me what to do. This is what I thought before I was saved. So when I was saved, God put his spirit in my heart. I was born again, and I'm still under construction, by the way. So you can ask my wife. I'm still under construction. But It's a very exciting, adventurous journey, you know, with God, because our first primary call to be changed to the likeness of Jesus. That's our first primary goal. It is written on Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And we very often recall the verse that everything works together for who loves God to their benefits, but in order to change to the likeness of Jesus. So that's the goal of every situation. So that's how we have to handle all type of circumstances, that this is now a new opportunity to be changed to the likeness of Jesus. So, and if you watch your circumstances this way, it is very exciting, you know, because you know that somehow it will work out for your benefit and you will be more and more like Jesus. It is the promise and it's the reality. I can testify. So I am so happy seeing, let's say, in a pastor gathering, I visit time to time this type of gatherings, so it's very good to be fellowship with pastors. But understanding their reactions or seeing your reactions, their reactions, pretty often I realize myself when I was 20 years younger and behaving the same way. And in the meantime, I changed. But this everything by the grace of God, not just bragging with ourselves, but wondering and being joyful what the Holy Spirit could do in our life. And it's a constant challenge, and it's a constant joy. And that's why I still enjoying being a Christian. Absolutely. And still I have the same wife as you saw, Lilla. And I would like to add something what Lenny told, that I called my wife executive pastor or operative pastor, and still I deceive myself that I am the boss. But I am. That's okay. We work together. Before my preaching, I would like to encourage you with the long-term commitment or perseverance. What God has given us, we have to be persevere with these goals and visions. For example, my wife is a good example for it. That when I married her, I thought that she is a very shy, silent young lady. And I thought about myself that I am the boss at home. It is written in the Bible, and I told what to do and how to do. So after several years, it came out that in my wife there are so many talents. I even didn't realize it when I married her. And as she started to grow up in the Lord, it was amazing how her whole character changed in a good way, how he found, she found he, her her call from God, her talents started to develop, and it is so wonderful to see in every Christian growing in the Lord. It is so attractive and so good to see it. Actually, that's the best thing for a pastor, seeing the church member growing and being more matured in Christ. So I think that's the biggest benefit for us as pastors. But especially if this is our wife, it is a plus benefit. You know, for example, she is much more patient. She has much more patience what she had before. So it's a benefit for me as well. So I like it. But also another example for the perseverance that we have on satellite, we have TBN Europe in our home. So, and my wife, every morning she starts, and pretty often I join to her, we watch Joyce Meyer programs in the TV. And it was 10 years ago the same way. And my wife told me always, and she was praying, oh, it would be nice somehow to get closer to Joyce Meyer and somehow get these benefits for Hungary from her, these blessings. And she just kept praying, and it just came somehow that we met in Switzerland, I mean Joyce Meyer and me and my wife, along with some other Eastern European pastors. She has given us a dinner before her conference, and she was there with her staff. And at the end, she asked, she was very kind and very personal, and so very kind, simply and humble. So it is good to see big shots, you know, from closer, you know, how they behave, because I had some not good experiences as well, but it was so shocking. And like in this church, it is very meaningful that the church members are kind with the new people. So it shows something very good. And you know, in Joyce Meyer's staff, for example, one young guy who was the cameraman, because they took reports with us, was so attentive and so humble. Basically, in the media, I work in the media, and there are so many puffed up guys, you know, in general. And even in Christian circles, I realized it. I don't want to speak about this. But in Joyce Meyer's staff, this young man was so attentive. It was a chilly morning, and he literally gave his jacket to me because I was a little bit frozen. And some little things you can see that how they behave. It shows a lot. It shows a lot, because this is what comes from our heart. The example for the perseverance is that it ended this meeting with Joyce Meyer that her son is the one who oversees all the TV work, and he entrusted us to do the voiceover in Hungary for Joyce Meyer teachings, and my wife is the voice of Joyce Meyer in Hungarian. So it's just a dream fulfilled, you know, for her. But she was praying on it and kept the vision, and I just want to encourage you to have perseverance. What God has given you, grab it and pray on it, and it will be accomplished. Maybe 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, but it will be somehow accomplished. So it is so good to see this God goodness. And in this TV channel, which I mentioned in the pilot film here, that there are approximately 1.2 million households in Hungary potentially viewers, so altogether maybe 4 million people. And the whole population of Hungary is 10 million, so it's a pretty good part of it. And every morning they start their program with Joyce Meyer. So in this TV channel in Hungary, Joyce Meyer every day in Hungarian. And we have a lot of feedbacks, you know, from the people. They like the program, of course. But this came from the perseverance. And this is what I wanted to tell you, to encourage you. And so I would like to share from the scripture a little bit. And probably they will be projected a scripture place. Yeah, you can read it. So, from James. And it is written here that we have to be the doers of the word, not only listeners of the word. Sometimes we turn it in a legalistic way and we use as a weapon as preachers over the congregation. You have to do what the scripture says. Of course, it's true. But here in the scripture place is written that if someone only is listener of the word and not the doer of it, is likewise when a man look at his face in the mirror and after goes out and forget what he was like. And but the one who looks at the perfect law of the liberty of freedom, I mean to the Bible, and looks himself in the Bible, who is he in reality, and keep doing what he saw in the mirror, I mean in the perfect law of liberty in the Bible, and he kept doing it, finally he will be joyful and blessed. So we need to see ourselves who we are in God's eyes. And this is what I want to share about our new identity in Christ and how we can grow the knowledge of it and how we can use it in our personal life to be or to become a victorious conqueror Christians, which doesn't mean that we have to conquer our spouse or conquer our enemies, people, but we have to conduct a victorious life, meaning that we can rule over the sin. So this is the message of the New Testament, and this is what James wrote it here briefly, that we have to hear the word, the scripture, because the faith comes from hearing, and hearing again the word of God. It is written in Romans chapter 10, you know, more than likely these scripture places. And that's how we have the faith, that we hear again and again, and we do it in the same times. Even Jesus told that if you want to know whether I came from the Father, you can test it if you do what I told you to do. It is somewhere in John Gospel, chapter 7, I think, 37th verse. So, and it's amazing, even Jesus told that if you want to really know who I am, you have to do what I told you to do. And you will realize who am I and who are you, and the Father sent me and I am the Messiah. So, there is a live connection with hearing and doing. And if you separate these two things, just hearing, it is just watching yourself in the mirror and forget after everything. And this way you don't have a victorious life, even though you have to hear the gospel, the good news, everything from the Bible. You need it, but you have to do it. Otherwise, it is not yours. It is just seeing, but not having it. And when we see and watch what the Bible says about us, about us as a new creation, born again, believing in Jesus, it tells us much more that we can imagine by ourselves as people, because it comes from God, and it is His plan, and basically it is already accomplished, and we have to discover what God has given us already in Jesus Christ, and our new identity comes from Him. We don't have to fight for it, we just have to receive it according to the Bible, and acting upon it, knowing who we are in Christ. And for this reason, we need personal revelation. Probably you are familiar here with the word of Rhema. You know, Logos and Rhema, it's a different. And all of us, we need that more and more scripture place has to become a Rhema for us, which means that having it personally and using it personally in our lives. And we, all of us, we need a revelation from God, not only sitting and hearing the word, it is very good, but it depends on us and the condition of our hearts, whether we are receiver or just hanging around and, you know, just... open our hearts and be hungry for the word and willing to do what the Bible says to us to do. And God, from His mercy, gives us revelation. Actually, Paul, in the letter of Ephesians, wrote two prayer. May I have some water? Somewhere? Okay. Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you. So in the first chapter of Ephesians, it is written that I bound my knees before the Father. Let the Father give you the spirit of revelation to understand the goodness of God, and this way to be fulfilled with the completeness of Christ in you. So it's Paul knew that every single Christian needs a personal revelation for themselves, because that's the key to understand who you are in Christ, and that's how you can grow in Christ. And this whole growing means that you know more and more God's loveness and God's goodness and God's mercy. You know more and more, and you fill up yourself with God's goodness, and it just causes you to think differently about yourselves, to think differently about your family members, to think differently about, hopefully you are not enemies, you don't have enemies, but some people who are not so sympathetical, and there are some people around us. And but God's goodness overflowed these things, you know, swept away these things, because He so loved the world that He has given His only begotten Son, that all of the people might be saved and not perish. That's, He loved the whole world, including the man or the woman who don't like at all, for example. Jesus died for him or for her exactly the same measure as for you. And this is what we have to stand on. And even Jesus told that God is good and merciful for the just and for the evil ones as well. And He gives reign over the just and the and the bad ones as well, and like this. So that's how God is. And as we recognize this, we become more and more like Jesus was. So, and the Bible says a lot of important things about our new identity. But back a little bit to having personal revelation from God. It is so, so important. You remember when Jesus, just before He started His public ministry, it is written at the beginning of the Gospels, and the end of Matthew, the third chapter of Matthew, it is written that when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from the heaven, the dove, the Holy Spirit, and the voice also testifying, it was God's voice, this is my beloved son whom I delighted in. Am I correct? It's correct. And so God the Father gave a personal revelation for Jesus, and he needed it. Please don't forget that he was the same way a man like we are. He was in the same body, and he needed this revelation for himself and for the crowd, as the crowd needed as well, but he needed as well. But after, so this is the end of the third chapter of Matthew, and the beginning of the fourth chapter is written where the devil tempted Jesus, and it was three temptation, and two of it, the first two of it, wanted to shake Jesus' identity, and the devil told to Jesus, if you are really Son of God. So he questioned his identity. And that's why we have to be strong in our identity from the Bible, because the devil attacks our identity, our new identity. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, the devil could have victory on you. Even before I started to understand these scripture places, and still I am in the learning process, of course, I realized that when I tell to the devil when it start to tempt me, it could happen, yeah, and it happens until we will live in this body. The devil don't stop to try to attempt us. But we have to know that we have power over him because of Jesus, and we are no more obligated to committed sin because we are born again. And even though before I knew these scripture places, somehow deep in my spirit I knew that the devil did not have authority on me. And because we are sons and daughters of God, and Jesus overcame the devil. Yes, the devil exists and tried to destroy us, and going around like a roaring lion. But if we know strongly that who we are in Christ, the devil can't overcome or get victory over us at all. And there is a very important statement in the Bible. I grew up in a church. I was saved in a real revival. In 75, it was heavy communist time in Hungary, and there was a revival. So God's spirit wasn't blocked, you know, because there was somewhere communism. It's no problem for God. It was a problem for us, but it wasn't a problem for God. But and there was a revival, and I was saved in a revival. And the teachings what I grew on that time, not all of them were very biblical based. It was some of them partly religious. And one of the statements was that we are still sinners, and we remain sinners all over our lives. We are sinners, and just by God's grace, we will go to the heaven, which is true, absolutely. But this statement that we are sinners, actually, it is not in the New Testament. The New Testament says to us on several places, but let's say in the Romans chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and 10. I have a little notes here. it says that even though we were still sinners, God loved us so much that He gave His Son to the cross to die for us. And how much more He loves us now after we were justified. So that's our new status in the New Testament. That's why Jesus died for us, not to be called anymore sinners, but in God's eyes, we are justified and we are saints. Even it's shocking that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, where there were some major sins. You know, even a young boy took the wife of his father. So it's pretty weird. And at the beginning, Paul wrote all the saints in Corinth, included everyone. So it's shocking. But in God's eyes, all of us who were born again in Christ, we are justified. And just as I never sinned, because in Jesus, all our sins were swept away. This is written in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18, 19, 20 verses, that God Himself reconciled the world to Him, and not imputing their sins, because Jesus paid for everything. And we are, so He reconciled the whole world. Actually, your neighbor who is totally ungodly, his sins was already swept away, but he did not received yet. He did not reconciled with God yet. But you have to approach to him this way, not to judge them. You know, we Christians, so often we just judge them, you know. And we don't do these things, what he does. But we have to consider that in God's eyes, his sin or her sin is already swept away. It was put on Jesus. And it is written also in the letter of Hebrew, chapter 10, verse 14, and the following some verses, that Jesus once for all died for the sin, and he made us saints, you know. So it's so wonderful to recognize what the New Testament tells about us. And the reason why we have to know it, because that's God's message to us, also to live, to conduct a victorious life in this life. Because a lot of Christians are very weak, actually. They are very weak. They don't use out all the power what the Holy Spirit gave us, what the Scripture tells us who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ as new creations. For example, some people gave up, let's say, on smoking, on the issue of smoking. Not gave up smoking, but still continuing smoking. If someone is smoking among you, I don't bother anybody. So if it is good to be a guest speaker, because I don't know who smokes, who doesn't. But if you told to myself that I give up to fight because I tried it 200 times, but it never was successful. I failed. Probably God doesn't want to take it from me. And I do not have enough strength in me, and so on. But we have to consider that we are a new creation in Christ, which the new creation was made by God in perfect holiness. It is written in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. If you would like to project this one, which is a key word, knowing who we are in Christ, a new creation. And all the abilities what Jesus had actually on the earth, he transmitted to us, to our new creation. And that's how it could happen that we can rule over the sin. And, you know, it is just a so powerful life, you know, realizing what God has given us and using it in the given situation, in the certain circumstances and certain issues, knowing that we are more than conquerors in Christ. And we have to grab this truth and not allow to go away, you know. And let's say you have some temptation which comes back again and again and again. I mentioned the smoking. Otherwise, I think gossip is much more dangerous than smoking. That's my opinion, being a pastor, you know, because the gossip could destroy the church. But if someone smokes, it's not a big deal. But I don't want to backing the people who are smoking at all. But I don't want to judge anyone, of course. But just it is so visible, you know, if someone is smoking. But let's say you have this bad habit. But if you confess constantly that this is not the truth, maybe you will be considered as a fanatic. But as believers, in some way, we are fanatics. Yeah. And we have to say that this is written about me, this is me, and it doesn't matter that it doesn't look like currently that this is me, but this is written in the Bible. I looked into the mirror and I saw my real being in the law of liberty. I saw myself. This is who I am here, and not what kind of people I was until now, but this is who I am. And if I grab it and constantly confess it, it comes alive in me, these scriptures comes alive in me, and powers me to overcome the sin. Actually, this is written in Romans chapter 6, that now you are not under the law, you are under the grace, and not allow the sin reign over you. Now you have the choice of the power of the choice to choose whom do you serve to. Before we were saved, we didn't have the choice or the power to choose because we were under our fleshly desires, which was connected with the devil somehow. It is written in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2, by the way. But now, once Jesus died for us on the cross, and we died with him as well, our old being died on the cross. It is written literally there. And as Jesus died for the sin once, because of the sins, but he was risen to live for God, we have to consider ourselves the same way. We are dead for the sin. And the sin can't, because a dead people, so the sin doesn't have power over a dead people. And our old being is dead, crucified with Christ on the cross, is dead. And we have to consider ourselves the same way. It is written in the Romans chapter 6. And that's how now we have the power to choose whether we commit ourselves to do what God wants from us to do, because now we have the power by the grace of God and through the new creation who we are in Christ, the new creation is able to obey to God. The old one did not have this ability at all, but the new one has, and this is who you are. And that's why we have to know very firmly who we are in Christ. This, you know, it is written, Jesus told to the audience in the John Gospel chapter 8 that actually he was talking to the Jewish, basically he was ministering among the Jewish, but he told to the disciples, it is written there in somewhere in the 30th verse, that he told to them, if you remain in my word, what I told to you, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's the procedure, if the whole process. If you remain in his teachings, we recognize that's the truth. That's the reality. And as we grab this truth, the truth will set us free. But if we consider ourselves, let's say, oh, I am still, even though I met Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus, but I am still a sinner. You know, the Bible doesn't speak about this. Of course, we have to be humble, and if we do something wrong, we have to confess it, because there are some extra teachings that, oh, we don't have to confess our sins. Jesus already died for it. God, forget it. No problem. No, no. Even Paul wrote twice in the Romans chapter 6 that once we are no more under the law, but under the grace, it means that we go and we do more sins, let the grace grow up. God forbid. No way. Not this way at all. So even that's our force, you know, our well, our source, to be victorious. Knowing that that our nature is now a divine nature because we were born again from him. And even in James' first chapter, the previous verses which were shown here, it is written that we might be his first fruit, I mean, God, of his creation, believing in Jesus. It means that we became his first fruit creation. So it is so exciting, and it powers us, you know. Because your nature leads your path, you will do what your nature is in reality. For example, let's say if you know a people very well, I say generally about the people, probably you can tell way before what he or she would do, because you know him or her, and you can estimate or tell exactly what he would do in a certain situation. And because it comes from his or her nature. But when we became Christians, it is written, whoever believes in Jesus, God powered him to become sons and daughters of God, who was born not from flesh, not from the will of man, but from God. It is written in John's Gospel, first chapter, verse 12-13. And it is so powerful. And this is the whole New Testament speaks about. And this is how you have to consider yourself and facing with different temptations, and knowing that you have divine nature living in your spirit, and you have to change your mind according to the Bible. It is written in the 12th chapter of Romans letter, the first and second verses. You have to more and more changed, not to the shape of the word, but what of the word, but what the Scripture says to you, who you are, and renewing constantly your mind and your understanding, who you are in Christ, and this 100% guarantee that you would live a victorious life, because that's how God sees you. That's how made you. That's your new nature. And if it is not shown yet, or not revealed yet, or not manifested yet, by with the perseverance, what you have to follow these scriptures, confess them, and doing them, you will realize that that's true. And no one on the earth can overcome the sin except the Christians who knows their Lords and what Jesus Christ did for us. And he wants a victorious bride. He wants not just a take-it-easy Christian life, or just barely get into the heaven, you know, somehow, but having a victorious bride. So that's you and me. You are chosen to be, and me too. And so this was in my heart, and I just, really, I don't say it is because I am a pastor. It's one thing that I am a pastor. But as a, I hope, a normal Christian, I just enjoy discovering these truths from the Bible, and discovering that that's the truth. It works. And we can show to the people that it works. And all the glory has to be given to God, because he has done everything for us. We just have to discover and live with it. So God bless you. And my pray the same what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Let God open your eyes to see God's goodness and his mercy and his power, and let you know who you are in Christ. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Joseph. This reminder has been brought to you by